You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We actually have some new videos up on YouTube. I thought Coach Malone gave a couple of really good practice press conferences. You never know what you're going to get out of Coach Malone. This year, I think he's been, especially over the last couple of months, I think he's been very, very good. He's always insightful when he wants to be. But sometimes at practice, he gives you a lot. Sometimes he gives you a little. I thought on Wednesday's practice, he gave us a lot. He was very, very insightful, had a lot of good information and some good details about where the team is. So, you know, I want to talk about briefly in this first segment. I'm going to talk about practice interview with Malone yesterday and today. I'm going to talk about an interview with Nikola Jokic, which I thought was interesting. In segment two, I'm going to look ahead and kind of just preview the game and tell you the things I am most interested in watching for on Friday night when Denver travels to Dallas to take on the Mavericks. I think this is, in a lot of ways, the perfect game for Denver to get back from the All-Star break, because Dallas is a team that is not very good, but they are good enough that you still have to show up and play. So this is a game that is very, very good for Denver to kind of get their footing back while still picking up a road win. So it should be good. And then in segment three, I invited a good friend of mine on the show and had him preview that matchup from Dallas's perspective and kind of just give you where Dallas is at right now. But before we get into any of that, let's get right in here to this first note, which is, you know, let's just talk about what you know, how practice had been. You never know. I thought the first question in the scrum on Wednesday, the first practice that the Nuggets had post All-Star break, I thought was a good one. Michael Malone was asked, is this the toughest practice of the year because everybody's coming back from vacation? And he said, actually, I think it's the easiest practice of the year. It's the best practice because guys are hungry to get going. And right off the bat, you know, I said I thought it was a really good press, a really good couple of days of talking to Michael Malone. You know, his mood, when he's in a good mood like that, I think you feel like, okay, they probably had some good practices. And he said as much. They felt like they had two very good days of practice. And, you know, the team, I think one of the fears you have, good teams, and I really should say great teams, after the All-Star break is when they start, that's when they turn it on. I mean, your Golden States, they have ebbs and flows throughout the season. You know, your Houstons, your perennial contenders, but they all know that after the All-Star break, this is like where you have to start working towards the postseason sneaks up on you. It's only a couple weeks away. And Denver, it's the first time being in this position where they, you know, their first time being into the postseason, even though they're not there yet, they're almost certainly going to be there. But it is kind of where you start building habits. And I thought Malone, talking about the team, everybody came back from the break. The guys that took vacations came back refreshed. The guys that went to Charlotte, and there was a handful of them, not just the players, but, you know, Torrey Craig was there. Monte Morris was there. You know, those guys came back hungry and excited to go. So I think it was a, you know, you can never tell till you actually play the games, but I think it sounds like it was a productive break for the Nuggets, and they just seem focused. They seem confident. They seem to be chomping at the bit. The motto for the team this week, coming from Michael Malone, and some of the players said it themselves, so you know that it's kind of stuck, was don't get bored. And what it means is don't get bored with success. Don't be bored with where you're at right now. I think there's a real this is Michael Malone at his best, by the way. These are some of the traits that I think he just naturally possesses, and he's very good at sort of getting everybody to buy in, is saying, look, we came into this season, everybody wanted us to win 48 games. We're probably going to beat that. We're in position to beat that. But let's move the goalposts. Let's not just be happy and rest on the laurels. And I think for Denver, with as tough as their schedule is, you know, forget the schedule, because a large part of me doesn't really care where Denver gets seated in this, you know, 1 through 4, maybe even 5. Like, it doesn't matter that much. It certainly does when you start to talk about second round and, you know, oh, can they avoid the Warriors, this or that? But to be honest with you, I'm not as concerned about that just when I look at the long-term trajectory of this team. But the thing that I think is much more important is just learning how to approach an 82-game season and learning how to approach this All-Star break sort of midpoint, and it seems like they're ready to do that. Gary Harris will be available on Friday. He did practice and participate in practice this week. Trey Lyles, incidentally is out. I believe it's a hamstring injury that he suffered in practice on the first day, on Wednesday. And that's a tough break for him. You know, Trey Lyles, we don't talk about him much in this way, but I think Trey Lyles was very high on the list of players that needed this reset. In the last episode, I talked about how Juancho Hernan Gomez, the All-Star break, maybe provides him an opportunity just to kind of say, okay, a week off, refresh. He went to Mexico. You get back on the court and you can kind of say, okay, now it's almost like a restart. Well, I think the same was true for Trey Lyles. And while neither of those guys were likely to get great opportunities right out of the gate, it was still an opportunity. And so for Trey Lyles, that's a really unfortunate timing on his injury. Now, it's a bit callous to say, but I actually think this is a positive, or could be a positive, for Denver that he's not available, because if, as I mentioned on last show, I think Juancho getting an opportunity at the backup power forward position, specifically in minutes alongside Jokic, so not a true backup, you know, playing with the rest of the backups, but as we've talked about, I think Paul Millsap will play a lot with Isaiah Thomas and Mason Plumlee on the second line. So that just allows for some opportunities for some small ball, and I'm very curious to see if Denver tries it out where Juancho plays the four. I think tomorrow provides a great opportunity for that, so we'll see if it happens. So this could be one of those things that opens up a door of opportunity for Juancho Hernan Gomez to get a couple minutes, and if he knocks down a few shots, defends his man, and grabs a few rebounds or makes a few hustle plays, there's a great job. He has a great opportunity to do that. Nikola Jokic talked about how he was asked just basically about fatigue. I think a lot of us really wonder about that about him. Can he carry the load that he has this season for 82 games? He said that the All-Star break, he doesn't feel refreshed, but he doesn't feel tired either. He feels somewhere in between, just regular. So I think that's such a Jokic answer. He's not a guy to just kind of BS you and say, oh yeah, I'm refreshed. But you know, it mentally, it sounded like he was, you know, up for the challenge ahead or whatever it was. Kind of mentally, he just seems so much more in the zone. And I've talked about this with Jokic. This is a surprising development for me from one of the things that I've observed about him, because he's a happy-go-lucky guy. I think he takes basketball in a lot of ways, and especially in years prior, takes basketball a lot less seriously than most superstars in the NBA. But he... This year in particular, I feel like he has just really accepted the responsibility of his talent. And I don't think he's ever going to be a Jimmy Butler or Kobe. I don't think he should be. I think that toxic mambalidity, as I call it, is a bad thing. You know, being a little too obsessed with the game and too obsessed with winning. I think Jokic has a good perspective on things like this. But, you know, there is a little bit more of a seriousness to him than I think in years past. And he kind of reiterated that in his press conference or his meeting with the Denver media today. And then lastly, I asked him, I was going to write a story on this, but I think I'll probably table it, maybe write it for a later date. But I asked him about playing point guard, handling the ball in the pick and roll, which he's done a lot more of over the last couple weeks, and just how much more he can add that part of his game. And one of the interesting things about Jokic, you know, I've talked about how there's a difference between feel and IQ, and I think Jokic is more of a guy that just has great feel. He just has great instincts for the game, but I don't think he necessarily is, like, thinking the game on this, you know, 3D chess, or what do you call it? Yeah, 3D chess level or anything like that. I think he just kind of reads and reacts, and he has incredible pattern recognition and incredible feel for the game. But I asked him about this, and it's funny because he clearly had never thought about whether or not he should be handling the ball in pick and rolls more or less. It was like a question he had never thought about, and he kind of seemed to enjoy thinking about it. He said, no, it's only to kind of mix things up. But then after talking, going back and forth with him, just with some follow-ups, he kind of changed his opinion and said, well, actually, maybe I should do it a little bit more. So it's just kind of one of those funny things. I am of the opinion that I don't think he needs to become a straight pick and roll player or anything like that. But I think it's a piece of his game that actually he and the team both could add. So I kind of would like to see him sprinkle in some different opportunities, and for the offense to find different opportunities for him to get going. I've talked about in the open set, meaning their read and react offense, you know, Jokic will go from one side of the court to the other, back and forth, kind of running dribble handoffs. And the way that works is he'll have the ball in his hands, he'll run over, you know, dribble the ball over to a guard, hand the ball out, and then set the screen while handing the ball off. This is called a dribble handoff. Well, that is just, there's no play called. It's just two guys reading and reacting. And I think one area that Denver could really benefit is every now and then, instead of having the handoff, the guard just sets the screen because the defense kind of anticipates that handoff action. So if you could switch it up every now and then and actually set that screen, I think it could really catch the defense off guard and open things up. And also, I just think Jokic is skilled enough. He can run a lot of pick and rolls at a high level. So it was kind of a cool little conversation. It's up on Denver Stiff's YouTube page. But it was kind of a neat little thing to kind of pick his brain about. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by financemyadu.com. What is an ADU? It's an accessory dwelling unit. This is really interesting. A white-hot Denver housing market. There's need for more rental units, Airbnb rentals, and housing for family members, whether it's an aging grandparent or parent or an adult son or daughter. So instead of paying more money for a larger home in a different neighborhood, you can affordably add an accessory dwelling unit, an ADU, to your current home and take advantage of the booming Colorado market. There's several different types of ADUs. There's tiny homes, container homes, foundation builds, also known as stick builds, converted walkouts, mother-in-law apartments. So if you live in Denver, Lakewood, Arvada, Golden, Castle Rock, unincorporated Jefferson County, Inglewood, or Colorado Springs, your house may be zoned for an ADU. So by adding an ADU to your home, not only do you add additional space, but you can increase your home's value, provide housing for an aging family member, monthly rental income. There's a lot of different things you can do for it. So if you're interested in finding out how you can finance the ability to add on to your home or add another dwelling to it, an ADU, what you need to do is go to financemyadu.com or give them a call at 720-650-1081. You can also visit their Facebook page, add them on Facebook at financemyadu. They'll put you in touch with experts that can help you every step of the way, whether you're interested or not, whether you want to commit now or not, to give them a call. They'll walk you through the process and tell you what you need to do. That's financemyadu.com or call them at 720-650-1081. All right, here's what I'm looking for in this game against Dallas. Can't wait for it, but there's a couple things I've identified. It's identified six big storylines I'm kind of curious to see most. The very first one, I want to see Isaiah Thomas's second game. This is still like the excitement and not just excitement. I don't even know if that's the right word. Just the intrigue around Isaiah Thomas and what he brings to this team is still very, very fresh. I don't feel like we have any answers after two games. So number one thing I think I'm most interested in is just how does he play? I thought he played pretty good in that first one. What kind of impact does he have on this team? It could be anything. Could he get a huge impact? He's a big positive for the Nuggets. You know, that would be interesting. Is he a negative? How many minutes is he going to play? With Gary Harris also healthy, I think that it's even more of a question of just where the minutes are going to be for everybody. So I think he's the number one storyline. As weird as it is, all this other stuff going on, he still might be the most intriguing one. And then I want to see the lineups. Now with Gary Harris back, I'm not sure if Gary Harris is going to start. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But either way, I'm curious to see, because I've talked about how I think Monte, or actually I should leave out Monte. I think the four players that I see sharing the court a lot, Torrey Craig, Paul Millsap, Mason Plumlee, and Isaiah Thomas. So is that fourth guy, if Gary Harris starts, does that mean Malik Beasley is that guy? Does it mean Monte Morris? Does Gary Harris come off the bench? Does that mean it's Monte or Gary, one or the other, one not the others, a little bit of both? I'm really curious about that, so my eyes are on that. And then I talked about, of course, I've already referenced it, the number two thing. Gary Harris is back, and the number one thing I'm interested in, more than minutes, more than anything else, is just how does he look? And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to tell this by watching on TV. When I really noticed Gary Harris not being 100% was live at Pepsi Center, because in games, he really just would, you know, he sucked it up, he toughed it up, and when the ball was live, he was playing hard, and you really couldn't notice. I mean, he wasn't as explosive going to the rim, of course, and certain things like that, but, you know, just running up and down the court, you really couldn't see anything. But when the whistle blew, and he no longer had to turn it up, you could really see some discomfort in him. So I don't know if I'm going to have a full answer to this after game one, but I just want to see how he's looking. Does he look 100%? Some of these injuries, these groin injuries, hamstring injuries, things like that, muscle injuries, you know, you can't, there's no like, oh, it's not like you go from 0 to 100%. It's not black and white. It's a process, and you can re-aggravate and all that stuff. So I want to see, is he for real back, or is he look a little rusty back? And then, of course, how many minutes does he start? If he does, I mean, part of me hopes, you know, they just had a couple days of practice, so they got a good look, I imagine, of what he looks like. If he's back to 100%, I don't think Gary Harris is a guy that you need to bring off the bench for a couple games to get his legs back. I mean, first of all, with as many players as the Nuggets have on their roster, you can start Gary Harris and play him 14 minutes, and it still works out for your rotation purposes. So if he is back, then by all means, you want to see him back in that starting lineup and getting even if it's those spot minutes, because that starting lineup needs to start building some continuity. And then more than anything, I just want to see it. It's been so long since we've seen it. I want to see what it looks like. And then lastly, his shot. Even before he got hurt this year, his shot was different, was just off. He had not been on. So give him a couple opportunities out there. I want to see if he can knock some down. Next thing I'm interested in, Denver's intensity level on defense. If I were a betting man, I would bet that Denver comes out tomorrow and plays very good defense. Now, Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks can generate a lot of open three-point looks, and that's one area where Denver, even when they're on, they can really struggle with. But there's we all know the difference between Denver's A defensive effort and their C defensive effort. First game out of a break, first game after the All-Star break, game on the road, all these different things. I would bet money on Denver's defense looking very impressive tomorrow. Whatever their offense does, I would expect them to be impressive defensively. And they have 11 guys that could play tomorrow. So there's nobody that has to be out there that has to think, oh, I need to save some energy or this or that. There's a lot of guys that could play 28 minutes tomorrow instead of their usual 32, 33. So they can leave it all on the court, so to speak. I think there'll be lots of Luka Doncic pick and rolls. I'm curious to see who guards him. I think Torrey Craig almost certainly will guard him in second lineups. If Torrey Craig even gets on the court, who knows what this rotation is going to bring? I think probably. But starting, I'm curious to see who they put on him. Malik Beasley or Will Barton, if they're starting, I don't know which guy you would go with there. If Gary Harris starts, I imagine he would be the guy. So that's a big question. I'm interested if Jokic can dominate this game. Maxi Kleber, not exactly a stout defender. Dwight Powell, same thing. Jokic really abused Dwight Powell in their previous matchup. This is a game that Jokic can and should dominate inside, whether it's reboundings, whether it's posting up. I imagine that a large part of their game plan is to stop Jokic. So I'm kind of curious to see how he handles this matchup. If he just goes out there and looks like an all-star and is the best player on the court, then I think Denver has a good chance of winning this one running away. So I'm kind of curious to see where he is there. Next one, Will Barton. He's been banged up. There's no secret that he has not looked like his best self since his return. I think he's 17 games now into his return, but it's been a pretty up and down, mostly down 17 games for him personally. So I'm kind of curious to see. He stayed in the gym. He was very adamant that this was not a vacation for him. He wasn't at the beach. He wasn't even on social media, to be honest with you. He went pretty dark. I think fans have been rough on him. I know he's rough on himself. He knows this. He needed to use this opportunity to get back. So I'm curious, does he look like he got a little bit of his confidence back, a little bit of his spring back? Is he attacking the rim? If he dunks tomorrow, I think that'll be a really good sign. I'm interested in the Nuggets' transition offense tomorrow. Dallas ranks 27th in turnover percentage, so they cough up the ball. And Dallas is a team that's had an enormous amount of turnover. They've traded four of their five starters. Luka is the only guy that they did not trade. So they got rid of Harrison Barnes. They got rid of DeAndre Jordan. They got rid of Wesley Matthews. So this is a team that has really turned over. So are they, and also Dennis Smith. So that's the fourth one. So this is a team that has a lot of new guys. There's probably ripe to turn the ball over. Denver wants to convert those turnovers into buckets, but you don't want to get into this habit of playing too fast. I've talked about that. So I'm curious to see how efficient their transition offense is, but also just how patient they are when opportunities don't open up. I think that's a real key for them down the stretch. And then lastly, just the rotation, and not just minutes for this guy or that guy, but what combinations does Michael Malone throw out there? I thought in Isaiah Thomas's debut, Michael Malone's rotations were very set. You could tell there was certain lineups he wanted to get to. I think we'll probably see something like that tomorrow. We'll see some lineups where it's like, okay, if Wancho plays, for example, and he plays alongside Jokic, we'll know, okay, that's a lineup he probably wants to try to get to at some point. If he goes back out there with the Torrey Craig, Millsap, Plumlee, IT lineup, we'll say, okay, I think that's a lineup he wants to go to a lot. Jamal Murray, how much point guard does he play without either Monte or IT, and how much does he play with them? Those will be really interesting things. So tomorrow, the Nuggets, every game from here on out, I think, is going to be fascinating. But this one is especially fascinating because there's a lot of questions that maybe won't be answered, but we'll get some nice evidence for them going forward. So it should be a really, really exciting one. And I think it's one that Denver should win. I think they should be not heavy favorites, but I think that they're by far the better team, even factoring in the road and just the opportunity being rested like they are. I think this is a great chance for them to go out and get a good foothold on this last 25 games. And now we're going to bring in one of my favorite bloggers in the world. And I kid you not about this. His real name is Doyle Rader. Doyle, what's happening?
Oh, not much, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Basketball is back. I was watching a little before we started recording this. I was having some small withdrawals, I got to say, from the NBA. Did you experience the same?
I did. It was nice to have the break, but I like that it's back and that there's something to watch now that isn't just some rerun of Star Trek for me or something to watch before
this,
I go to bed.
This break was just long enough for me to like start watching some shows that now I want to complete but will take way too much time. So I just started Billions. I like it so far, but
yeah.
I've got like four seasons to go through and now basketball's back, so I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, like basketball's definitely cut into me even contemplating watching like, you know, full shows at this point, which I guess is fine. But, you know, there's some things I would like to watch, but it's like there's just no time. There's just none.
Have you seen all of Star Trek, every one of the Star Treks?
I have seen all of them up until the current season of Star Trek Discovery. I haven't seen all of those yet.
So you've seen quite a bit, though.
Yeah, more than is like healthy, I'm sure.
Right on. So I want to ask you, this game, I'm actually really excited, not just because it's the return Nuggets-Dallas, but because it's got one of my favorite players in the league, Luka Doncic. I said that right? You have to say it, Doncic.
Yeah, I mean, like, I kind of text and drawl it, but yeah, I believe that's the proper pronunciation.
Texas accent with a Balkan pronunciation's got to be great. One of the things I like about Jokic, we all call him Nikola Jokic, which just sounds, it's like an American pronunciation of it, and it's supposed to be Nikola, but he doesn't care, and I respect that about him. He doesn't care how to say his name.
He's an easygoing guy from everything I've seen. Loves horses.
How's Luka? Is he an easygoing guy?
Not on the court, but also yes, on the court. He's kind of all his passions on the court, that's for sure. And off the court, or at least in the locker room, he's very kind of a subdued personality.
Really?
Doesn't say a whole lot. I think it's just because he gets asked a lot of dumb questions, honestly.
Yeah. So does he hate the media as much as Jokic does? It's very sad how much Jokic has really turned on them. Not turned. He's still nice and polite and all this stuff, but you could just tell how annoyed he is every time we walk up to him.
I haven't really seen that, not necessarily with Doncic, but there might be a little in there, but because he draws the biggest scrum in the locker room for sure, and he speaks pretty quietly, so you can kind of tell he's just like he doesn't love it, I would say.
Where does this season rank for you in all times Mavs? Because the first year you get the guy and you know you have the guy is always a ton of fun. Like, has this been a fun year covering the Mavs?
Oh, it really has. It's significantly different than like the last two seasons where the team was just straight garbage. And having the guy, I mean, I don't think I've ever really experienced that. Like, even when they got Dirk, no one knew he was the guy back in like 98. So, I mean, it took a few years for that to develop. So this is just kind of, it's kind of a circus in a weird way, especially for a team that only has, I think, 26 wins right now.
Yeah. Is it a ton of media? Are there a lot of people there?
There's a lot of people there this year compared to last year. There's a bunch of people I've never seen around before. So, like, even like some of the the newspaper columnists that only pop around for hit stories are there more frequently.
Yeah. Is that how they are? That's how Denver is. There's like certain media that, same thing, they'll show up for the big game. They're almost never there. And when they show up, they're just asking all these questions. You could tell they're getting ready to write some hit piece on the Nuggets. It's the only reason they showed up was to talk.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a lot of people like that. Like if I see Tim Kalashaw at a game, I'm like, okay, here, something's coming.
Yeah, there was a prominent, I'm not going to name names, but there was a prominent Denver sports sort of icon that was at this last game. He comes to about 4 a year, and he was at this last one saying, oh, I don't think Jokic is a cornerstone piece of a team or anything like that. I was just like, my so God, what? Man. What? Okay. All right. Time to move on.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they still exist out here, unfortunately. But so about this game, Dallas, you know, a completely different team. I guess you've only even seen this new version of Dallas a couple times. What do you kind of expect from them? Are they going to be competitive for the rest of the year, or is their team kind of gutted to where you think they'll be worse than what they were even, you know, up to this point?
From what I've seen, I think they're going to be worse.
Mm.
You know, having the whole starting five except for Doncic go is, I think, what they needed to do. I mean, you know, I'm kind of sad they got rid of Dennis Smith. I liked him, but it makes sense. But yeah, they're not going to be as good. They've been blown out several times since the trade deadline.
Really?
And I think that's just going to continue. And I understand it. They've only won one game, I think, since the trade deadline. They barely won that one.
Okay. Yeah, 102-101 over Portland, though. Portland, good team.
Yes, okay. Yes, that's true. It's weird. The Mavericks will beat teams at home. They're just really good at home, or at least they were. We'll have to see like how it kind of shakes out now. But yeah, it's a completely different roster at this point. Like, I mean, literally, it's like, it's an entire roster of people that have, you know, 5 years of experience or less, other than like Dirk and Devin Harris,
right?
So they're trying to figure out
too much experience at this point.
Yeah, so they're trying to figure it out.
Let me ask you: who's going to start at center? Is it going to be Mejri?
They started him one game, but what they've been doing is starting Maxi Kleber.
Okay, now that's an interesting matchup, I think. You know, Kleber versus Jokic, because obviously I think Jokic dominates that on the offensive end, but defensively, stretch fives, I think, are always tough for Denver and for Jokic in particular, because that means he's usually out there playing pick and pop and doing different things. Is he in pick and pops with Luka quite a bit?
Yeah, he's been launching threes. He's not the best three-point shooter, but he can definitely knock him down. He'll keep a defense honest. And he's actually, like, a really good defender. Like, he's kind of a sneaky good defender, and I think it surprises a lot of people.
Jokic gonna make mincemeat of him. Don't do this, Doyle. Don't oversell him.
No. I mean, Jokic is a better player. I think if Maxi gets in foul trouble, Jokic is just gonna eat up the entire Mavericks, like, you know, defense all night. Like, I was actually like did the preview for this game for Mavs Moneyball and kind of touched on this matchup, and I think, yeah, it could get ugly fast, and I really think that Jokic could find himself getting a triple double in this game.
Mm. Yeah, it's always a safe bet. So this game for Denver, you know, Isaiah Thomas has had one game back. Gary Harris will be back in the lineup. This is the most healthy. This game coming up will be the single most healthiest game Denver has had all season. So for Denver fans, I think they're obviously very excited about that. What does the depth look like? What does the second unit for Dallas look like?
It's still being pieced together, honestly, on a nightly basis. Rick Carlisle is kind of staggering minutes just to try and get run with a decent second unit and, like, putting a Luka in there to run around with, like, Dirk and maybe Jalen Brunson if he doesn't start, and then Devin Harris and Dwight Powell. I mean, they've kind of like had a pretty decent second unit. Last year it was actually like one of the most efficient units, you know, in the league when they still had Yogi Ferrell.
That's right, yeah. They had a three-guard lineup that was one of the best.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. But since JJ Barea is out for the rest of the year, he was kind of the engine that really made that second unit run. And so it's just kind of a hodgepodge of like trying to mix in the guys they got from New York, like Trey Burke, and then Tim Hardaway Jr. as well. Hardaway will start more than likely, but he'll get some burn with the second unit because he's just a guy that
He's a six man type.
The ball.
Yeah, he's good with a bench unit. I imagine. I bet Torrey Craig will end up checking him a lot with a lot of those bench units. So give me a prediction for this game. How do you think it's going to go? And just kind of what's a final score prediction?
I mean, the Mavericks are always tough at home, but just the way this roster is currently composed, I don't have a whole lot of hope that they can squeeze out a win against the Nuggets. Like you said, they beat the Blazers recently, but they seem to always kind of have the Blazers number, like, in early field. Yeah, they match up well with the Blazers. I think maybe Carlisle just has it in for Terry Stotts since he used to be on his staff.
Nice.
But I mean, the thing with the Mavericks is like everything is Luka now. Like he is everything with the team. Like he's gonna be in triple double watch in the second quarter. Like he does it all.
Yeah.
And you know, if you slow him down, you know, that's kind of gonna put the brakes on literally anything the Mavericks are trying to do, because it's really with the starters, it's him and Hardaway are like the only guys out there that are really the playmakers.
Right. Yeah.
So it's going to be tough for the Mavericks to overcome, like, you know, the Nuggets, who have what, 10 guys they can rely on night in, night out.
Tomorrow, one of the interesting things is going to be how many guys play, because I think it'll be 10. But it'll be interesting if a guy like Wancho sees the court. He'd probably be the 11th guy. So, yeah, Denver has a lot of guys. The question is more about who's not going to play, who probably could. So what's your score prediction? What would you predict how it goes?
Ooh, gosh. I'll say Mavs 102, Denver 112.
Okay, so a fun, up-pace, you know, score some scoring. Who's going to have the better highlight pass, Doncic or Jokic?
Ooh, now that's interesting.
That's the real competition.
Oh gosh, you know, I'll just be a homer. I got to be a homer. I'll say Luka's got a better one.
All right, I like it. I like it. If Luka's throwing a good one, I know Jokic have some good ones. So
oh yeah, for sure.
So it should be a good a good highlight game. And also, it's just the first game back is always fun, man.
I'm really looking forward to it. Like, I'll be there. I'll be soaking it all in.
Are you going to interview Jokic after the game?
I might, actually. I was considering it. I want to, like, kind of see if he feels like he should have faced off with Luka in the skills challenge.
Are you tapping the microphone?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just tapping the side of my computer.
All you have to do is now chew on some ice, and you will be in your boy Kirk Henderson's territory, also from Mavs Moneyball, as most hated guest of all time on this show.
I don't need to be in Kirk territory. People need to like me. They can hate him all they want.
That's a good call. Doyle, thanks so much. Everybody, you can read him. He writes at Forbes at Mavs Moneyball. Great guy. Really good follow. Follow him at the Kobe Beef on Twitter. One of the great Twitter handles. Doyle, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Adam.
Everybody else will be back again with a brand new episode tomorrow. I will recap this game, working on the weekend because it's been a short week of podcasts, so I'll be back tomorrow. We'll see everybody then.
Thank you for listening to the Locked on Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.